not losing our spirit and our seriousness and our exercise for this training. I know this is the second year, and we are 4 months now into it, and last weekend was Itero. Many of you were down south. But still, let's push. Brothers, we can, right? We're not that flabby. We're not that wimpy. Let's just push. In serving the Lord, that's all I know. Keep pushing. When everything is tired, and nothing is that encouraging, even you want to give up, that's the time to push. That's the time to keep going. In taking care of the church, the same thing. If you just take care of the church according to your feeling, your emotions, you can never take care of the church. I hope that we're not losing our burden and our exercise. In fact, they call it an exercise in interval training, negative split. Have you heard of that? Negative split. So actually, let's say you run a 3K. you time yourself according to intervals. Negative split means the last part of your race, you're actually running faster than the first part. Or in swimming, 400 meters, the last 100 meter, actually, you're swimming faster than the first three. That's called negative split. So the more we go on, actually, the more we should push ourselves to exercise more than even when we started. That's the way. In prayer, it is the same. When the Lord went to the Garden of Gethsemane, that was the last part. And he called the three to be with him. And then they all fell asleep, right? Except the Lord. And then the Lord says, why you cannot watch with me? This is not the time to sleep or to slow down or to just take it easy. It is how you finish something, not how you begin. I hope, brothers, as a training, I say these words to you. Okay. Now, in this particular module, that is module 8, we have the subject of holding to truth. Holding to truth. And this is an exceedingly important part of the eldership. And not just the eldership or the elders being full of the truth, being knowledgeable of the truth, even being constituted with the divine truth, but how they lead the church, the way they administrate the church. There's a requirement for certain Ezra's, right? You remember? Priestly scribes. He was both a priest and a scribe. The priest speaks to his role, as one who takes the lead to contact God, to be in the presence of God, to worship God. We know that. That is what a priest does by burning the incense, by lighting the lamps, and by spreading the face bread table, etc., and even to to enter into the holiest place. That is a priest's life. But Ezra was not only a priest. Ezra was also a scribe. A scribe means someone who studies and who is knowledgeable and who is even a teacher of the Word of God. And of course, in the case of Ezra, being in the Old Testament, it was with the Old Testament law, with the law. But today, there is a real need. There is, in fact, a call for more Ezras. And really speaking, a proper leading brother should be a what? An Ezra today, a present-day Ezra, who is both a priest who pray and also a scribe who reads and teaches. We need both. We need both. And by doing so, by such leaders in the church life, and this is the training, right, for proper elders and leaders in the church life, you will then be able to not only lead the saints or help the saints where you are in your church to contact the Lord, to have a prayer life, to have a spiritual walk with the Lord, but you will also all the time be able to educate the saints, to teach the saints, to be a pattern to the saints in the handling and in the getting into the divine truths. Which truths are embodied or embedded in the Word? And that is the Bible. So this, I would maintain, is an area that is quite lacking among us. To say that we have no heart for the truth, we don't pursue the truth, that is too much. I don't think so. But I'm talking about the degree. In terms of degree, in terms of where we should be as the churches in the Lord's recovery, I would say we are not where we ought to be. And so I would say in this matter, we all need some repentance. We all need some change. We all need some major adjustment in our attitude, in our heart, in the way we would even building up a certain habit. And I would say, broadly speaking, in the church life, even another kind of culture. What kind of culture? What kind of habit am I talking about? I'm talking about a truth-pursuing culture, a truth-pursuing habit. And this has to be something that is ongoing. So in the last module, that is a month ago, I would say the main burden was more related to the brothers, we ourselves. But these today, this next half of the module, we come to the matter of actually leading the saints into these truths. And that is this first lesson. And then the second lesson concerning a very important point, and that is the ministry. The ministry of the New Testament, or the New Testament ministry of God's economy. How important it is for us to remain in this ministry, to be clear about this ministry, and to be faithful to this ministry. But that ministry, I will tell you, is mostly about the teaching. The teaching. Without a teaching, there's no ministry. You see, it is the teaching of that ministry that brings about the work of that ministry. So it all starts with the teaching again. So to remain in the ministry is to remain in the teaching of that ministry. All right? And then finally, we have a third lesson, and that lesson is quite particular, and that is we will see a history of the Lord's recovery from the standpoint of the release of the various divine truths. And that is a plural I use, truths. It is something that actually I helped to put together about 10 years ago. I remember about 10 years ago. And so I think it is actually very enlightening for all of us to see these things. Now let's come to lesson 46, bringing the saints into the truth and having meetings full of the divine truth. This morning, or just now, I was looking at Deuteronomy, in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and chapter 11 at least. You know, Deuteronomy is a kind of re-speaking, right? A kind of, that's the meaning, a re-speaking by Moses at the end of his life, prior to his departure and leaving the children of Israel. He re-spoke the things that God had commanded him to speak to the children of Israel. And there in those two chapters, in some portions or passages in those two chapters, Moses charged them as Jehovah charged Moses. And that is that the children of Israel should keep Jehovah's word or the law. They should have it in front of their forehead. You know, the frontal of their forehead. You know, I think today there's some extreme Orthodox Jews that may still do something. They follow it to the letter, right? They hang something here, and it says it should be, they have it in their hands, they should have it on their doorpost. It's like everywhere you turn, you have the law there. And of course, we know the type of the law. The law is a type of Christ. Am I right? So that is to have Christ, you know, everywhere. To have Christ in your conduct, in your walk, in your coming in and going out. But that Christ, I must tell you, as typified by the law, is Christ as truth, Christ as the Word, the God-breathed Word. And so today, practically speaking, if you want to carry Christ, you want to have Christ with you, you want to live Christ, right, to walk in Christ, and so on, without the Word, I will tell you, it's hard to do. You say, no, I pray. I call on the Lord. I pray. That's good enough. Well, that is very good, of course. We exercise our spirit to touch the Lord. But if you are a person without the Word of Christ inhabiting you, if you are short of the God-breathed scriptures, I will tell you, your walk will not be so solid. I used the word this morning with the brothers, fluffy. You have a fluffy Christian walk. Not a bad one, that's not what I mean, but a fluffy one. That means not solid. Not solid. And today, if we all check with ourselves, you can actually directly check your spiritual health with how much you are in the Word yourself. It is directly proportionate. You are as healthy or as solid in your walk as you are in the Word. You spend the time in the Word. Or your living knowledge of the truth is directly affects your living. Your living, your walk, your daily life. So I must make sure that this burden really gets into you. And you would all have this proper concept. Otherwise, you would not pay that much attention to this. Another thing I would like to say, I mentioned to the brothers. It is as if today that the Holy Word for morning revival is all that we eat. I don't know when that has started to become our prevailing culture. Now, am I against Holy Word for morning revival? Absolutely not. I have Holy Word for morning revival. You know the book, right? And these are the following the feasts, right? Our seven feasts. So now we're, most churches are in the crystallization of Exodus according to the recent training. And that is wonderful. Okay, so I'm not bad-mouthing this at all. In fact, I promote it. But, I do see something that concerns me. And that is many saints, apart from the Holy Word, there's nothing else. They have nothing more, no other pursuit of the truth, including reading the Bible. Including reading the Bible, the basic reading of the Word of the Lord. How about as we will get into this, the life studies. The life study, which is the classic. Huh? If Brother Lee has a classic work of his ministry, I say the life study would be it. And of course, after the life study, he entered into the phase of the crystallization study, which we're still endeavoring to continue. And he has many, many other writings and books. But what about the getting into those things, those material? Ourselves and the church where we are. So I would say Holy Word for morning revival should be our minimum diet rather than our maximum diet. But I'm afraid it has become our maximum diet, that if you just read or somehow touch a little bit of the Holy Word, you're a good brother. Well, you are a good brother, even if you don't read the Holy Word. Every brother is a good brother. But we're not here just to be minimally good brothers. We're here to take the Lord's recovery on. We are the Lord's recovery today. And the Lord's recovery is the recovery of the truth. That's what the Lord's recovery is. The recovery, first and foremost, of the divine truth. And if we do not advance in this matter, in the area of the truth, then, brothers, this is not so much the Lord's recovery in actuality. I hope that we will really, really take this to heart. The church is the pillar and base of the truth. That's what the church is. I like to ask, what is your local church? Is it a pillar? Is it a base of the divine truth? Or is it just a better gathering of Christians, of us? All right, let's get into this outline here. Now, there's a part concerning bringing the saints into the truth. There's a second part concerning having meetings full of the divine truth. And a lot of these, almost all of this, except for the part of PSRP, in E of Roman 2, they are given prior to even we have Holy Word for Morning Revival, prior to our present day practice of prophesying. So you have to take this, some of these things in the outline and in the excerpts in this way, okay? In other words, don't take it legally. Our practice should always be advancing, but try to get the principles of what Brother Lee spoke to us in these early years, especially in the 80s, the 1980s. All right. I trust you will get into the scripture reading yourself in your weekly pursuit in your small groups. Number one, the greatest need we must meet is to bring the saints in the Lord's recovery into the truth to carry the Lord's recovery on. You say, well, I thought your burden is on the increase, the gospel, the fruit bearing. Indeed, it is. And we will sound that trumpet, the Lord willing, tomorrow morning with all the churches here. Amen?
Amen.
It is. But today, I must tell you, the Lord's recovery is not a one-liner. The Lord's recovery is multifaceted.
Amen.
The Lord's recovery is a recovery of the truth, first of all, and number two, of life, right? And number three, of our church practice. And so we must pay the utmost attention to this first point. And that is the matter of the divine truth. A, for the long run, we surely have to help the saints into the Lord's recovery to get into the top spiritual education. Do you have the idea that your church, your local church, is a school? At least a home school? Do you have that idea? That there is this element of regular education that is important. I think I have been to many churches. The brothers have zero idea of that. There's no idea of that. That the saints need to be constantly educated in the truth. Learning the truth. To even be afforded a kind of program to what? To study the truth. No such thing. No such thing. They just announce, go to the book sales and get your latest holy word. That's it. There's not even the help on them how to get into the holy word. How to restudy those messages, crystallization messages that we have in our semi-annual trainings. It's just, okay, you do it and my job is done. My job is done. Who among us, the leading brothers, have actually a burden to what? Help the saints to study and to pursue the truth, to gain a better and better spiritual education. Now, I guarantee you today there's no other Christian group on the earth that has that many books with such riches. Am I too much to say that? No. Just go to our bookstore. Go to your book room. Go to ministrybooks.org. But is that our boast? We have the most books. We have the top library. We have the richest ministry, bar none. Is that the boast? The boast should not just be that. The boast is that these things are in us.
Amen.
These things are in the saints. And never use Christianity as the standard to compare ourselves with. I say it in two ways. Number one, the majority of the Christians today have no such thing about the divine truth. That's their job. It is the clergy's job. It is the theologian's job. It is the pastor's job to read some Bible and give us a sermon. I just come and sit there and pass the plate and so on. And that's it. No idea. No idea about even cracking open their Bible, except at funerals and you know what I mean. But I will tell you something else, that today in Christianity, there is a small number of believers that study the truth more than we do. More than we do in the recovery. They have much less, but their heart, because we got these things at BFA, we get these responses. Just by reading their few sentences to us tells me they are more serious with the Bible than our brothers and sisters in the local churches. That shames me. That's put me to great shame. And so they found the recovery version. It's like a man finding water in a parched land. They are so grateful. Where have you been? Where have this Bible? Why are you hiding it? And then now they found it, and they're just devouring it. And I don't see much of this even among us. Really. There's a small number of such lovers of the word, such seekers. Brothers, we should be like that. Amen. We are sitting among these riches, all these truths. But how much of these riches are really in us? That is the point. That is the point. You say, no, I go to one of these feasts. I go to one of these semi-annuals. I watch the video. That is a very, very good, right? We certainly would promote that. But I'm talking about the heart. I'm talking about the seeking. I'm talking about the desire. The desire to know the truth. I would say even to love the Bible. I would even bring it to such basic. To love the Word of God. To read the Word of God. Without this, brothers, I would say we are not taking a proper lead in the church life. Right? We have to help the saints. Help the saints. Brother Lee's word is in this matter. This matter of the pursuit of the truth in the church life is orphaned. There's no father. There's no father taking care of this little orphan called the truth. That's a very strong word. B, it is basic to have the saints getting into the word personally every day and to have the entire meeting entering into the truth. Just even to help the saints personally, to read something of the word and the ministry on a daily basis is not too much. We think it is too much because we think it's too much for ourselves. So we don't put it on ourselves. We will never put it on some other people because that is somewhat hypocritical. Am I right? But brothers, it's time. And I'm talking to what a new generation of leading brothers. I hate to see that you would repeat the history of the past. I like to see a new generation of brothers, not just they're energetic, they have better capacity, you know, they can do things in a more efficient way. No, no. But they are what? They are built up in the divine truth. Now, many of you have been to FTTA. That FTTA 2 years gave you two solid years of the truth. Am I right? It does. It does. It makes it a world of difference than those who have not been in the training. But that is just foundational. That is not, you didn't graduate from that. That's giving you the foundation so you can pursue it further. So for all the FTTA graduates, you know, I always say now, that you have gotten the high peak, you know, in the FTTA mainly we follow the high peak. I said, now that you have gotten high peak, now go back and spend the 20 years to read the life studies. 2 years, you get your high peak. You need 20 years to read through all the life studies. Then the high peak will be meaningful to you. You don't know, actually, all the depths of this high peak without the life study. You jump ahead. Now you need to go back. And reading the life studies will make you appreciate what is the high peak of the divine revelation. So that's what I tell them. That's what I tell them. All right, let's continue. Two, we have seen that the first aspect is the personal aspect, okay? The personal pursuit of the truth. A, we need to help the saints to build up a habit of spending time in the Word every day. Every day in the Word. Now, right away we say, this is a busy world. We all have no time. We're all busy. Well, I think we've got to get this matter settled. Yes, it is a busy world. Yes, but I will tell you, we are all still wasting time in surfing the web. I mean, how much time we spend in just surfing the web, watching TV, reading the magazines. I don't believe we don't have time. I still believe we waste time. You say, well, I need to do some of those things for diversion. Well, I'm okay with that. But there's a limit to that. If it's all a matter of prioritizing things. If something is important to you, let's say today you have to go to University of Phoenix and get a certificate in some special field, you know, just so that you can advance your career, you know, your boss require you to do that. I tell you, I don't care how busy you are, you will work, study at night, right? MBA program at night, am I right? To get that so that I can advance your career. Don't tell me you don't have time, because that's about your paycheck. Reading the Bible doesn't advance my career. Doesn't get me better pay. Reading the Bible, so dry. Reading books, so dry. What has that got to do with me? You see the point? No priority. It's not a matter of time. It's a matter of priority. Do we really see that to have the truth constituted in us is priority in serving the churches and the saints, in taking care of a locality? That if we are not that way, the saints will not be that way, and so the church would be empty. The church would be poor, impoverished. The church would not be solid and strong without the truth, so that even when you, as a leading brother, go to a meeting, I've seen plenty, you have nothing to say. Even you did not get into the Holy Word, minimally, in an adequate way. Or last minute, you just, because you're opening the Word, you're closing the meeting, you have to get something, so last minute you grab something, and then you say something, just out of memory. I tell you, if we are so light about things, the whole church will be light about this matter. No, brothers, it's not how smart you are that you can lead the church. Just because you are smart, you have capacity, you have energy, now you can lead the church. You are wrong. You are totally wrong. Now, we're not all asking us to be Ezra's in the sense of theologians, right? We're not talking about that. But we need, over time, to build up a reservoir, a repository in us of the Word of the Lord. Without the Word, what do we have? The church is empty. without the truth, without his word. So I'm speaking in this very strong way because this is a training. This is a training. We need to, okay, number one, we should help the saints to spend at least 30 minutes in the word. This can be done by taking 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes in the evening, and another 10 minutes before going to bed. You say, maybe this half an hour, 30 minutes is too much. Well, what if I do a discount? How about start with helping all the saints to spend just 10 minutes a day? Not 30 minutes. 10 minutes a day. And I'm not talking about morning revival, okay? That's different. I'm talking about 10 minutes in the Word, reading a chapter of the Bible, 10 minutes in reading part of a life study. That's what I mean. Before you retire, or sometime at noon during the lunch break, or 15 minutes, not 10, 15 minutes. Brothers, what about this kind of habit? You know, this is why I brought up Deuteronomy. Put it here, put it there. Brothers, the study of the truth is entirely cumulative. You don't need to take a vacation and do nothing and just read the Bible. That doesn't work. It's daily. It's a daily diet. It's a daily food that you have to start. How about you start to have 10 minutes a day? I just ask for 10 minutes a day. I think we all have 10 minutes a day. Even sitting in the toilet, we can have 10 minutes. No, I'm not joking. I am absolutely not joking in this matter. A day just to read something of the Bible, of a life study, of something in the ministry. I'll say more about this. Cumulatively, over time, you will see the difference in your life, in your storage, you know, the storage that you have, the reservoir that of truth that you would have daily, daily. Okay. It's habit. It's about habit. Two, the best way is to charge the saints to study a book of the New Testament. Of course, this is in the 1980s, huh? In the life study period of time. According to their choice, Brother Lee actually told the saints, you can just choose any book you want. They should get into that book continually and every day, a book of the Bible. This is not bad, actually, brothers. Do you study a book of the Bible? Now, all of us are in Exodus right now, right? Or at least the churches generally. So we're in a book. But how are you getting into that book? Two, the best way is to charge the saints to study a book. Okay, I read that already. Three, we should charge them to pray read two or three verses of this book every day in order to get the help to enter into the truth conveyed in these verses. We don't have that. I'm thinking maybe we should devise a program that saints can individually pick. They just pick the book of Matthew. They pick the book of Matthew. Right away, there will be a program. Days of reading. The verses to read daily. So that they can complete that book in 6 months. Whatever it is. It's all done for them. Not just the life studies, but the program for them. They just follow it religiously, if you know what I mean. And they'll finish it. They will finish it. In 6 months, you would know Matthew. Do you know how great a thing to know Matthew? And I would like to actually suggest, in terms of life study, half of the life studies in the New Testament, not the whole New Testament. You know, the books that are important are Matthew, John, Romans, the heart, the four heart books, you know, the four heart books, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, am I right? And then what else? Hebrews is a big one. And then Revelation. At least those are the main books. Now, not that the other are not important, but those are the key main books. You start there. Have you read through Matthew? The life studies and gotten into it? Start somewhere, brothers. Start somewhere. I like to stir up an appetite. There's no appetite. You know, the brothers know I love to drink Hong Kong milk tea, you know. I'm addicted to it, you may say. When you have an addiction, wherever you go, you just have to get the fix, huh? Is that the word? You just need to get the fix because you are addicted to it and you cannot live. You will die if you don't get the fix. Brothers, are you addicted to the word? Or is it just the Bible, I just put it in my Bible bag. The Bible, this is called the Bible bag. That's where my Bible belongs. I carry it everywhere, but I never open it. And I've seen that. I have seen that. In fact, I've seen even brothers coming to meetings now without bringing their Bible. I don't think the Bible is in their life. The Word of God is not on the radar screen. They just, elders meeting, they come and talk about this, about that, you know, who gives the announcement and who does this. Even among the eldership, there's not an atmosphere to pursue the truth. You're just doing things. Carrying out some administration. Sad. It's so sad. That is not the Lord's recovery. Okay. Four. Then they have to study the accompanying message. You know, the life study message, of course. They need to help of the notes and the life study messages to enter into the truth. Now, I must stand here and give you a strong testimony that I am a product of the footnotes. I am a product of the life studies. That's me. And I'm proud about it. I'm very proud about it. I cannot live without the footnotes. In fact, I cannot live without the cross references. Not just the footnotes, the cross references. You say, you know the cross references, you know, on the side, huh? You know? This is the cross reference. Do you know how rich in studying the word the cross references is? Especially in our recovery version. Because it's not just based on words, you know. You know, the same word appears. So no, there is light there. There is a lot of consideration there. We have a different set of cross references. Or concordance. And the footnotes. My goodness. You need to read some footnotes 5 times before you get it. You think you read 1 time, you got it? You didn't get it. But we are not like this. We are just easygoing. We're just, this week, brothers, what's this week? What meeting, what announcement? Is the mortgage paid in the meeting hall? That's all we talk about. Where is the love for the word of God? You know, I would say, if you say you love the Lord, you don't love his word, you're a hypocrite. You're a bit of a hypocrite, at least. Lord Jesus, I love you. The Lord says, you love me? How much you have the word in you? My word. My word. These are my words. The Bible is his love letter to us. You say you love him. You never read his love letter to you. What kind of love is that? Okay, B, the elders need to feed their family, meaning the church, the saints, with the proper food by encouraging the saints to get into the truth in the way of using the life studies. Again, life studies. I'm a product of the life studies. Oh, the life studies. Brother Lee said, because I gave them, it was hard for me to promote it. But why don't you promote it? I spent just 2 days with the brothers from Canada. I told the brothers, just Monday and Tuesday, 2 full days after the Iterol. It was just wipe me out. And I talked to them about Brother Lee's ministry, Witness Lee's ministry, not Watchman Nee, Witness Lee's ministry. That although Brother Lee has always placed himself under Brother Nee, and said that he owed everything to Brother Nee, which is true, which is a fact. And the fact is also that Brother Nee and Brother Lee is really one, right? Almost like a corporate ministry. Almost like Moses and Joshua. One brought them out, the Israel out, the other brought Israel in to the good land. That is all true. And if you study Witness Lee's ministry, you will see Brother Nee's fingerprint everywhere. Do you understand what I'm saying here? But I told the brothers, I tell you, don't be mistaken. I tell you, Brother Witness Lee's and his ministry stands on its own. It is on the shoulders of Watchman Nee, just like Watchman Nee was on the shoulder of the brethren and other great Christian teachers, especially of the 19th century. It is true. But make no mistake, Brother Lee's ministry is on top of Watchman Nee's. Do you know this? If you don't, you have not studied his ministry. And today, people are still calling him cult leader. It's still going on. There's some young brother who got offended and wrote a play, you know, a theatrical play. And that play is now being done in some theaters in Los Angeles with some famous director directing it. And in that play, Witness Lee's mentioned. The whole thing, you know, this anti-cult thing is kind of popular right now. They have some anti-Scientology play, and they have this thing is anti-local church play. It's still going on. The bugs are still there. Brother Lee, a cult leader. And as our dissenters in the late 80s loudly, resoundingly proclaim, Witness Lee is using the publication and the tapes, videotapes, to control the Lord's recovery. And many fell under the spell of that kind of talk, including ones who have been with us since the beginning. In the U.S. Brother Lee is exerting mind control. He said that you cannot study anybody else's thing. You must only study his thing. No, I read other things. But I tell you, I come back to this again and again. Because this is the best. This includes the best of the past. Brother Lee Nee did the first round of vetting and filtering to come up with the best of the West, if you know what I mean. And Brother Lee went further. In this iteral, did I not read to you Andrew Murray, chapter 5, in The Spirit of Christ? I tell you, Brother Lee's understanding of this process consummated spirit owes too much to Andrew Murray on the Spirit of Christ. So we stand on the past great teachers. And many of us think Andrew Murray is only good in the higher life, and that he's definitely a participant in the higher life movement, Keswick movement, for example. He was later become a speaker, not in the earlier days. I realized he was not only good in the higher life, I tell you his revelation concerning this great divine truth, including the spirit in this case of the glorified Jesus, the man. It is just phenomenal. Phenomenal. You know, recently they did something and some scientists finally say, one of Einstein's theory of gravity is proven. Have you read that in the newspaper? And of course, there's some opposing camp and say, no. I will tell you, if I may say so, that what Brother Lee ministers and saw concerning God's New Testament economy is equivalent to Einstein's, in the physics realm, the general theory of relativity. That means the theory of all theories. The theory that explains everything in the physical universe. God's economy explains everything in the spiritual universe. It explains the triune God, why God is one, why God is three. Explains the Father, explains the Son, explains the Spirit, explains the believers, explains the church, explains the kingdom, explains the New Jerusalem. All from the lens of God's New Testament economy. Brothers, do you know this? Oh, Witness Lee. Who is Witness Lee? Some say he's just a good organizer. He's a businessman. Brother Lee is spiritual. Brother Lee is not spiritual. I tell you, man, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're talking about. With all due respect. Brothers, it seems I'm quite stirred up here, like I'm fighting something. I am fighting something. And I told some brothers, this is why I started Bibles for America. Because I can't stand this. People out there exalt Watchman Nee. Do you know that? Even the Congress passed something a few years ago, or you remember that. Witness Lee. I cannot stand that. More than anything else, this keeps many of God's children from being open to this ministry and thereby missing the Lord speaking of this age. You can read all the other, use other biblical tools, other commentaries as you want. I have it in my library. And even Brother Lee used some of them, biblical tools. But he cannot boast too much, like he is selling his own cargo. I would like to tell you, since the day of Paul the Apostle, we have not had a ministry like this that expounds the intrinsic depths of the Word, especially the New Testament, like this ministry. Now you take it or you leave it. You believe me, you don't have to believe me. But this little brother here, sincerely speaking something sincere to all of you. Getting into the Word, this open and interpreted Word, we'll get into the next, what time is it? Will make you spiritually rich and full and healthy. It will affect your life with the Lord. It will affect your marriage, your family. This ministry builds up the church, brothers and sisters. This is a church building ministry. And it didn't come spring out of a rock. It came up from all the past ages, including from the church fathers. You know, the high peak of the divine revelation went all the way back, am I right? To Athanasius, right? Okay, let me calm down and come back to this. Many of the leading ones have never encouraged the saints in the last 5 years to get into the truths in the way of using the life studies. Have you done that, brothers? The way of getting into the truth has become an orphan. Here we go. With no father and no mother, with no fostering. Your problems have always been due to this one thing. It's time we get all the churches in Northern California into a daily diet of this interpreted word. And I especially recommend the recovery version with the footnotes. Look at this, brothers. Please look at this. Okay, just look at this. I think even if you spend the rest of your life doing nothing but studying this, you still cannot get into the full depth of it. And the life studies. I just recommend. Moody say, burn my library, just leave me the Pentateuch, the notes of the Pentateuch by C.H. McIntosh. That's D.L. Moody. I say, come and burn my whole library, just leave me my life studies and this recovery version. Amen. You know, the recovery version. Okay, let's go on. Your saints are orphaned right now as far as the truth is concerned. Are you going to pick it up and be the father? The only way that works is to come back to the proper diet. To feed your family with the proper food, you must come back to the proper diet and charge your children to take the proper diet. Fathers or mothers knows best. The child just wants candies, am I right? It'll make their teeth rot. It'll make them sick and unhealthy. You're the mother, so you need to give them the proper food, whether they like it or not. It will make them grow healthily. I know even some saints. Oh, they're even drawn to some mega church pastor books. Self-help. How my marriage can be better. Now, we're all for better marriages. I'm surely for better marriages. But is that the kind of food you need? Really? As the leading brothers, try your best in your locality to stir up an atmosphere and to create a hunger and thirst in the saints after the Lord's truth. You know, the prayer we need to have is, Lord, hunger. Hunger. Lord, stir up a hunger, an unprecedented hunger in your children, in your saints, in the brothers and sisters in my locality. You cannot force feed. There has to be some amount of hunger. But you know what I find also? The less you eat this food, the less appetite and hunger you have for this food. In other words, appetite is acquired. Acquired. If I get you to drink Hong Kong milk tea with me, you acquire the taste for Hong Kong milk tea. When I first came to this country, I saw this ugly looking and horribly tasting thing called cottage cheese. Never seen it in my life. Never seen it in my life. No wonder they don't serve anybody cottage cheese by itself. It's always some fruit because it's just... You know, I acquired the taste for cottage cheese. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. You see the point? Don't say, well, the saints don't like this. It's too much. Well, help them to acquire the taste for it. That's our job. Okay. All right. Okay. Hunger and thirst. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Brothers, hunger is a blessing. Hunger for this ministry, for the truth, is a blessing. Okay, five, tell the saints that the truth is in the unique holy word and that the best help to usher them into the word is the recovery version with the notes, footnotes, and all the life studies. Tell them this. Repeat this to them. Help them until they acquire that taste and even that habit. Six, we read to remind them week after week, and sometimes the elders need to give the saints some direction, some encouragement, some incentive. In the Korean-speaking part of Church in Irvine, they actually have incentives. If they read certain book and so on, they give them a gift. These are adult saints. And somehow that works. And then at the end of reading certain book, they all go up to a mountain. 40 of them, that whole weekend to have an exhibition of that, what they read. And then year after year they do it, and now they have gone on and read so many books that the rest of the church didn't read. Slow going, but over time, a lot of accumulation. I would say by hook or by crook, get the saints into this ministry. Entice them. Brothers, this is the best. And why would we not do it? We are keeping our saints in a minimal diet when they have capacity for more. But because we restricted ourselves, we deprive them of a fuller diet. Week after week, this is the elder's job, saints. Did you read the Bible? That's better than just announcing something. Did you read the Bible? This week the church is on Exodus, blah, blah, blah. Did you get into them? We really encourage you to do so. If you forgot the last week, don't worry. Just pick up where the church is now and continue. This is what we need. This is the right kind of elders. And of course, you have to do it to tell the saints. You have to tell them how sweet it is, how tasty it is, how much it changed your life. Nothing better than a good testimonial, than a success story. Am I right? But you have to give that success story to them. All right. Okay, now this next portion I will just read through because that's not where my burden is. That's in the meetings. And there are many ways to do this. We must find the best way to turn our meetings into meetings of education. We must help the saints into the basic intrinsic element of the Lord's recovery. One, if you check with the saints today, you will discover that not much intrinsic element of the divine revelation has been wrought and constituted into their being. That is true. Some even who have been in the church life for a long time, they have a scattered understanding of the truth. There a little, here a little, they got a little quote there, a little word there, but they cannot present to you something organized, something complete. There's really not constitution. Okay, we should be really concerned that not many can present particular truth in an adequate way. B, we need to see the basic factors of the meetings. We must keep and have these few basic factors in all of our church meetings, full of the Spirit, full of life, full of prayer, full of a refreshing atmosphere that encourages people to function and full of freedom for people to function. But my question is, function with what? We do need the prayer. We need the Spirit very much. That is the main thing of an attractive and rich meeting. But we also need content. We need food stuff. We need reality. So that is not just an empty air, just hot air. That's where the truth and the word comes in. 2, every elder should come to the meeting after some prayer for the meeting and come into the meeting with a praying spirit, making your meeting different. And by the way, this is another learning as a leading brother. Why we have some pre-meeting time before the meeting? That is not a form. That is so that the elders or the leading ones, the responsible ones or district brothers, can have the spirit in gear, stirred up, warmed up. Then you go into the meeting. You can take the lead to inject life, to dispense life into the meeting and get the saints exercise. It's called warm-up. You know, I do this interval training exercise. You need to do warm-up. You know, some of us do stretching. Never stretch without warm-up. You'll tear your muscles. Stretching. You know, stretching. Just to stretch, you need to warm up your body first. Okay? So do some in-place running, do some jumping jacks. Warm up your muscles first, then you can stretch it. Okay, we need warm-up time. That's pre-meeting prayer. And it's good for the saints to come early. In fact, the saints, when they're on their way to the meeting, they should be warming up. But now we don't do this. Nobody warm up, and we come to the meeting, and we start stretching, and we start doing things. No wonder we couldn't get much done, much proper exercise done. Okay, C, we need to learn how to carry out the meetings, how to use the life studies messages in the church meetings. Now, this, I said, is the 1980s. Whether today we have a life study meetings depends on the church. But I'm not putting this here to ask you to rigidly follow. But the principle, get the principles, okay? Concerning the use of the life study messages in the church meetings, the elders in each locality need to seek the Lord's leading as to which book of the Bible is most helpful to the church at the present time. I think at the present time, many of you are studying Exodus, am I right? Just to follow along with the semi-annual. 2, once the decision has been made concerning which book to use, you should go on to consider how much time is needed to cover that book. Then you should set up a schedule. In the church meetings, it would be good to continue on a certain book and go through it chapter after chapter. Brothers, the best way to study is sequential, not jumping up and down, here and there. Now, there is topical study of the truth. Let's say you study the matter of the kingdom, right? Or even certain aspect of the kingdom, appearance of the kingdom, the reality of the kingdom, the manifestation of the kingdom. You delve into that. That is a topical study. But in terms of studying the Bible, it is good to study it book by book, chapter by chapter. That's where the life study comes in. 4, opening the meeting either by singing, by praising, by pre-reading, plus pre-reading. This is a certain meeting to use the life studies, to pursue using the life study to help. Okay, 5, we have to pre-read the basic verses in the meeting, but the leaders and the elders should not let the pre-reading go too long. The elders need to consider which verses should be used with a particular message. This is somewhat our prophesying meeting nowadays. And there's a lot of improvement, by the way, we need to make in our present-day prophesying meeting. We really are not where we should be. Okay, 6, to put the steering wheel or the rudder in your hand, you must first get the message into you as leading ones, and you must get the message to pick up certain crucial points. The same applies for our prophesying meeting. 7, if 30 minutes have gone by and it seems that there's nothing solid to nourish people, you need to put out a dish. To put out a dish means to minister a certain crucial point, which is rich, refreshing, enlightening, edifying, and building. We need to practice all these things in our current prophesying meeting, which in principle is the same as this particular, what I just read. Brothers, the point is, you and I need to get into the things first. Otherwise, we will show up in the meeting empty. And we'll just basically by memory pull something out and say a few words just because you know how to say it. But you really yourself have not gotten into that week's portions or riches. So what you have is stale, just a kind of repetition, and it is not so nourishing or enlightening. So back to this point, our responsibility to really get into the Word during the week, even for the meetings of the church. D, we need to have a church family training. It is that is in a local church. It is possible for us to reserve 30 minutes in both prayer meeting and the Lord's table meeting to train the saints in the truth. For example, we would pray from 7:30 to 8:30 in the evening, and then from 8:30 to 9 o'clock evening, we would have a lesson in the truth. The last half hour of the Lord's table should be devoted to another training, which should be called the church family training. For example, we could spend half an hour twice a week using the material from the textbook entitled God's Full Salvation and possibly cover it within 1 year. 5, if the elders would give these types of lessons twice a week, this would impress the saints and build them up in the knowledge of the truth. In Irvine, nowadays, we don't do this because nowadays we push our our Lord's table meeting to the morning for some years now. But for the longest time in the church in Irvine, our Lord's table is still in the evening, which is the, I don't know whether you practice it or what, like in the early days for decades. When we did that, we practiced this. We spent a long time. We have 30 minutes after the Lord's table to help the saints into certain basic truth, including the Lord's table itself. You know, today many saints have no idea of all the riches concerning the Lord's table. And much have been spoken about this. Do you know, brothers, for example, that the peace offering is a type of the Lord's table? One of the five offerings. Have you studied that? The peace offering. The saints have no idea. And many areas concerning the Lord's table. By the way, the Lord's table is not a meeting. The Lord's table is a supper. It's a memorial of the Lord. It's not a meeting. That's why in the early church it's called breaking of bread. And they continue steadfastly in the breaking of bread and in prayer. They broke bread every day, the early church. It's not a meeting. It's in remembrance of the Lord. And today, many saints, they don't come to remember the Lord. They come to just have a meeting. Same old. Sing some song. I call it a sing-along. Lord's table meeting, sing-along. No heart to praise, no feeling to remember the Lord. Even the feeling is not right. Why? Because there's not education. The saints don't know because there's no education by us. And then other matters, basic matters related to the Christian life. You can even use life lessons. Do you know life lessons? The 48 life lessons? Even that is very good to use. Not deep, but very, very good basic. Even for many older saints, they need that. For example. All right. Okay, E. This is in the 90s, huh? We need to learn to pray, read, study, recite, and prophesy, PSRP, in order to... This is something Brother Lee promoted quite a bit. Now, I'm not promoting this as a legal practice, but what Brother Lee has suggested, I just feel to put it down. If you have this, a kind of chronological understanding of the context, you can get a lot of help from Brother Lee's suggestions how to educate the saints. Okay, one, we in order to be constituted with the truth, we need to pray, read, and then study. Pray reading verses like John 1:1 and 14 lays a good foundation. Two, then we can study the crucial points of these verses with the help of the life studies. We have to study the truth word by word, term by term, and phrase by phrase. That's the way to study the truth in the Bible. Word by word, term by term, phrase by phrase. Three, spontaneously, excuse me, we will be able to recite what we have prayed, read, and studied. That's not verbatim recitation. That is committing this truth into memory. And let me say this. Unless something is retained in your memory, it is still not your constitution. Four, in addition to our personal study, we also need to study with others. This kind of study cannot be carried out in the big meetings. It can be carried out in vital group meetings of six or to not more than 10 saints. Well, in small numbers. I know in many places, sisters, they come together two times a week to read life studies. I know in my locality, some sisters do that. My wife does it with some young sister. The following the church pace, you know, but in a two or three way, there's just a level of intimacy and Q&A, you know, helping. It's a great way to shepherd the young, for example. So these days we're promoting twos or threes. It's great to have life study teams. You know what I mean? Just to study the word. And there's also accountability that way. Five, we have to pray, read, study, recite, and prophesy with the points of the crystallization study outlines. Well, that is our present-day holy word. That is another way. Six, we should prophesy with what we can recite. We can recite what have been studied, and we have to study what have been pray-read. If we do not pray, read, study, or recite, we cannot prophesy. Seven, PSRP is the way for us to cook and to eat the riches which have been released in these recent years, 94 to 97. Those are the high peak messages. Now, brothers, okay, I end. Don't get hung up on, oh, this method, that method, this way or that way. Don't get hung up on that. I put it here because it was Brother Lee's recommendation. But I want you to focus on the principles. The principle is this, that brothers, we ourselves need to get into a regular, systematic, sequential study of the truth. With the help of the life studies and the recovery version in particular. Number two, having done so, we need to help the saints to do the same. To build this up eventually as a habit and indeed a culture. I call it the truth-pursuing culture in a local church for the long term. For the long term. Now, in the next meeting or so or two, I will say something more concerning some suggestion on a program that perhaps even in Northern California we can adopt together. Amen?
Amen.
Are you okay? I didn't depress you, huh?
No.
I hope I stirred you up.